Welcome back to the Michigan Business Beat, a Michigan Business Network. Jeffrey Mosier is sitting in for Chris Holman, and Wednesday, October 4th, we're on the road to Southfield, Michigan for cybersecurity event, It's Not If, It's When, presented by Foster Swift Attorneys and ASK. Here's a panel presentation delivered by Foster Swift Attorneys, John Mashney, Alex Ayer, and Taylor Gast.
What's the trigger? Do we need to notify everybody? Do we need to notify the state's attorney general? Do we need to notify every credit monitoring bureau? These are some things that we're thinking about. Some states require that you provide credit monitoring services. Obviously, we probably all have credit monitoring at this point, or at least have been offered it either through Equifax or some of the one of the many other breaches that we've all been, you know, victims of at this point. So that's kind of the initial phase. Those are some issues. We're also thinking about reputational harm, like John mentioned. The immediate impact and the immediate sort of concerns that we're often thinking of are not necessarily these reputational concerns. I mean, there's technical issues. Is the breach ongoing? What's going on technically? But in the long run, we really have to be thinking about reputational harm and how this is going to affect your business. If you deal with individual consumers on a regular basis, it's all a matter of trust. If you don't have a consumer's trust, why are they going to come to you? If you're dealing with other businesses and you're their vendor, how do they know that they can trust you with their contract or that information if they're not sure that that's safe? And then, you know, in a case like this, you know, the recourse against either a perpetrator or the individual who is responsible may or may not be an issue, but depending on the circumstances, especially if this is an individual within the company acting maliciously, we're definitely talking about recourse. We're definitely talking about, you know, is there something that I can do to improve this situation? We might be reaching out to the FBI. We might be reaching out. Generally, if it's a breach, we will be reaching out to law enforcement at some level, at very least to document what's happened, to file a report and make that, you know, make it papered, essentially, which in some cases will be very important if there's a cyber insurance claim, for instance. So just in that scenario, I don't know if you guys have anything to add.
One thing I would say, just to kind of piggyback on Taylor's response and also the two earlier speakers, is this concept of receiving an email and thinking that it's from someone who's not the actual author of the email. There's very complicated schemes, and I love Josh's take on this when I've talked about it, where there's social engineering. The email looks exactly like it's from someone else in the organization. Because social engineering has gotten to a point where people can learn so much about you, about your organization, about different people in your organization through public sources or easily accessible sources, such as social media, even your own company's website. They can discover or determine or figure out organizational charts pretty quickly or pretty easily. They can actually copy and paste, if they're in your email system, they can actually go and copy and paste language that was previously used by that person. So it looks exactly like what they would normally send an email, because it is exactly what was sent in a prior email. So the email itself appears like it's coming from this particular person, whether it's CEO, executive, HR director. Another point I want to make is that there, and I think both the prior speakers talked about this too, but who are the targets? HR, benefits, who people are in charge of benefits. So thinking about those people, who are the people in your organization that actually have access to this data, and going back to Josh's kind of least privileged concept in terms of security, who has actual information that could be harmful? And the other point to add on to is, what information is considered personal information such that it triggers these breach obligations? If we look at these data breach laws, every state has a law, maybe it's one or two that I think are holding out. Almost every state has a data breach notification law. And what information are we talking about? Personal information. notwithstanding anything we talked about, like HIPAA or any of the other kind of federal regimes that regulate information, financial information, health information, this is just personal information, meaning someone's name linked to some other identifying information. Could be social security number, could be address, could be phone number, could be a whole host of other types of information, depending on the state. That's that state's definition. So it could be, this information could be in a lot of places. It could be your employees, it could be your customers. So think about who has that information and how it's stored.
Just to add on what John and Taylor mentioned in terms of spoofing emails, in my experience, there are sometimes, I would say, almost always going to be red flags in the content. When you're normally emailing somebody, you kind of know how they write, you know that their sentence structure is pretty good. For example, if an email is spoofed and it's coming from someone who's trained by an Ivy League school, who uses proper sentences.
We'll be back with more from the cybersecurity event, It's Not If, It's When, presented by Foster Swift Attorneys and ASK in Southfield, Michigan, on the Michigan Business Beat on Michigan Business Network.